You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So as Cindy mentioned during the announcements this morning, we had an incredible Trinity Annual Conference where churches, 375 churches represented in the conference from Arkansas, from Louisiana, and from Texas. The theme of the conference was Even Greater Things, which of course is reference to the scripture that Jesus tells us as the church, we will do even greater things than these, the things that Jesus did, the signs, the wonders, the healings, the miracles that Jesus did during his ministry on earth. The church of Jesus Christ with Him at the head will do greater things than Jesus Himself. How is that possible? Well, it's possible because Jesus abides in each of us as members of His church, as the body of Christ. And so it's not us, it's Christ working through us. The church multiplies, which means that it is growing, has been growing ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, and it continues to grow, even though, in this country at least, we tend to see a lot of empty chairs in the sanctuaries. Not just ours, everyone's, not just Methodist sanctuaries, but Baptist and Pentecostal and you name the denomination, there's a lot of empty seats. Which means that the church has work to do in the world. It's one thing to come to church on Sunday, it's another thing entirely to be the church all the rest of the week. And so we have to remember that we have a purpose, and the purpose of the church is reflected in our epistle for this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, where Paul writes to the church in Corinth and the church in Splendora and all the other churches, reminding us that we have a mission and a purpose. And the purpose is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people that now is the time for their deliverance from the world, from the sin, from the sickness, from the poverty, from the spiritual poverty that exists. And so hear what Paul says to us as the church in Splendora. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, at a favorable time, I listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is a day of salvation, giving no reason for taking offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in difficulties, in beatings, in imprisonments, in mob attacks, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, and in the power of God. by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet behold, we are alive, as punished and yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, you Corinthians, you Splendorians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in the same way, in exchange, I am speaking as to children. Open wide your hearts to us, you as well. What's Paul trying to tell us? I mean, it's clear he's talking about being the church in good times and bad times. It's easy to be the church in good times. It's easy to go to annual conference and enjoy the worship and the glorious 150 member choir singing like angels. Oh, you're on a mountaintop. It's easy to be the church then, isn't it? But when times are not so good, it's difficult to be a Christian in the world, isn't it? Paul tells us not to accept God's grace in vain. What does that mean exactly? The first verse, half of the first verse. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. It's a bold statement. It's a bold statement and it's packed with meaning, and it just begs for us to break it down a little bit this morning before we move on to the rest of the passage. Paul's not merely talking about working together with the congregation at Corinth. He's not, by extension, referring to working together with the church in Splendora. Not at all. He's talking about working together as the church with God. How do you work with God? Well, you don't do it by trying to create your own agenda. You have to join in with what God is already doing. You have to come alongside God in the work of redemption and salvation that God is already doing in the world. And as we work together with what God is doing in the world, Paul urges us not to accept the grace that God gives us in vain. He's saying, please don't squander one little bit of this amazing, marvelous life that God has given you. And God reminds us that he heard our call for help when we needed him in the nick of time, when we said, God, I can't do this on my own. I need a Savior. When we said that, he responded to each of us individually. When we needed him on that day, he was there to help. And now that we are saved in Christ, now it's our turn to help someone else realize that salvation. And so Paul continues in that verse, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. In other words, we dare not wait because nobody knows when Jesus is coming again. We dare not wait to fulfill the mission of the church, which is your individual ministry to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Really, what are we waiting for? Because we're all called to join in with what God is doing in the world. We're urged not to waste any time in joining in. Because we're reminded that God has been there for us. He's already done the work of redemption and salvation through Jesus. Jesus, who completed the work on the cross and in the grave. Because of those wonderful things that Jesus did for us, we're now urged by Paul here to re-engage in the ministry of the church. And you might be thinking, well, how should I engage, Pastor? Paul says, now's the right time to listen. Today's the day to be helped. Don't put it off. Don't frustrate God's work by showing up late, by throwing a question mark over everything that God is doing. Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. Because people are watching us as we stay at our post alertly, unswervingly, through the hard times, through the tough times, through the bad times, they're watching us to see what we do as the church. What's the difference between the world and the church? The difference is Jesus Christ. The difference is we don't operate on our own agenda and our own power. We operate by the power of Christ within us, fulfilling His agenda, His purpose, which is the salvation of all people. Paul goes through a laundry list of all the hard times. When we're beaten up, when we're jailed, when we're mobbed, when we're working hard, when we're working late, working without eating. It sounds like annual conference, doesn't it, Cindy? And then he contrasts that because we have this remarkable capacity as followers of Jesus to endure the hard times and still find joy. Because joy doesn't depend on our circumstances. So he's saying when we're beaten up, jailed, mobbed, working hard, working late, working without eating, with pure heart, with a clear head, with a steady hand, in gentleness, holiness, honest love, when we're telling the truth, and when God's showing His power, when we're doing our best at setting things right, when we're praised, or when we're blamed, when we're honored, or when we're slandered, when we're true to our word, even though the world doesn't trust our word, when the world chooses to ignore the truth, we're still recognized by God even when the world ignores us. This is one of my favorite. When we're terrifically alive, though we're rumored to be dead. There was a whole movement not too long ago. God is dead, someone wrote. And yet I see the church and the world growing leaps and bounds. The gospel of Jesus Christ bearing the truth. And there's not a single thing the devil can do about it. Even the gates of hell won't tear down the ordained church of God. That's you, by the way, the ordained church. He can't prevail against you. Beaten within an inch of our lives, but refusing to die. Immersed in tears, yet always filled with deep joy. Living on handouts, yet enriching many others. Having nothing, and yet having it all. You see this contradiction in the perspective of the world versus the perspective of the kingdom, and guess which one of those is true
and which one is fantasy? Well, obviously, the church and Jesus Christ are the truth. The gospel message is the truth. What the world thinks about it, the world's perspective, is irrelevant. And so you can stand boldly and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through your lives and through words if necessary. You can be the ambassadors for Jesus Christ out there beyond those doors because you have the truth behind you. The world can't stand up to the truth of the gospel. Jesus says, I've overcome the world. There's nothing that they can throw at you. There's no arrow they can fire at you that can touch you because of the armor of God that you wear as a follower of Jesus Christ. All this stuff that we go through as Christians, it might seem as though it limits our ability to join in with what God's doing. It might seem that it limits our ability to work alongside God as His church, but that's not what's really happening. Paul in this letter says, dear people of Splendora, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter into this wide open, spacious life that God has given you. The truth did not fence you in. If you feel small, that's coming from some place inside you that hasn't yet accepted the truth. Because your lives aren't small, you just might be living them in a small way. Paul says, I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great love, great affection for you. Open up your lives, live openly, live expansively, live as if the truth of Jesus Christ resides in you because it does. See, in the world, we can allow ourselves to be limited. And usually it's ourselves that are limiting us. We often hear people say, I'm just one person. It's just me against the world. And it feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, if we're really being transparent and honest, sometimes the world seems to be winning. Turn on the news, I don't care which news channel. It seems like the world has the upper hand. And so we say, I'm just one person. How much can I possibly do to change the world? I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm not a public speaker. We can allow the worldview to fence us in. We can allow the worldview to tell us that we are ineffective, that we are weak, that we have no ability to affect any sort of change in the world. But if we do that, that's just us limiting us. Because that's not the truth of the Christ that dwells in each of you. In Christ, you have influence over the world because Christ has overcome the world. Say to your neighbor, Christ has overcome the world. Say to your neighbor, Christ lives in me. Now say to your neighbor, I have overcome the world. And that is the truth about you. You're not small because Jesus is not small. Yes, we have little Jesuses, but that's not what I'm talking about. In Christ, we have influence over the world because Christ has overcome the world. So don't live small. Live in the largeness, the grandeur, the effectiveness, the transformative power of the magnificent God that you serve.
the transformative power of Christ that lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit that has set up his residence in you. And come alongside him as the church to transform the world around you in his name for the glory of God the Father. That's your purpose as the church. And it's a glorious purpose because you have been called to even greater things, Jesus said. Even greater things are in store for you as the church, for this denomination, this global Methodist movement that is growing so rapidly in the world. Do you realize that 25 months ago, there was no global Methodist church? And now we are thousands strong. Because Jesus is greater than the world. They said we couldn't. Jesus said, oh yes, we can. And so we did. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I think we have one more hymn. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.